this I-40 fella's doing. John chapter number 6, and we're going to start at verse number 60. John chapter 6 and verse number 60. Alright. Bible says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh, profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, let me explain to you guys how this works. Now, remember, I've got some treats that I'm going to pass out, but I'm not going to give it to you if you're not going to pay attention. Just give me, we'll be here a half hour. We'll let you go, and you can go enjoy your holiday weekend, but just give me your attention for a little bit. I really think I can help you today. But here's what happened. Jesus, when he first started out, how many people know how many disciples or the apostles he ended up with? Anybody know how many there was? 12. Most people think, okay, well, Jesus had 12 apostles, 12 disciples. Now, those were the 12 that were the closest to him. Jesus had more disciples than that. And there was a time when Jesus was going around where he had a great multitude. The Bible doesn't really give a number, but there it said there was many that followed him. There were many people who saw the miracles. They heard his teaching. They heard his preaching. They saw what Jesus was all about, and they said, man, we want to follow that guy. But then as Jesus started to get into his ministry, he started to preach certain things. And as he preached certain things, he started to offend some of the people who were following him. See, Christianity starts out pretty easy. You start out finding out that you're a sinner. And if you believe that truth, you're going to say to yourself, I need to know what I need to do so I don't end up going to hell. Amen? And so as a sinner, you trust Jesus Christ and you get saved because you don't want to end up in hell. Now, I said it's easy. That's not easy because there's a lot of people who don't do it. But I mean, as far as Christianity, becoming a Christian is so simple. It's simply taking your faith and your trust and putting it from yourself, from the world, from anything else that you might believe in, and putting it completely and wholly in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you get saved, and when you die, you don't have to worry about going to hell. You know without a shadow of a doubt you're going to be going to heaven. And that's an exciting thing. And if you're saved today, that ought to make you have a little bit of joy in your heart that someday you're going to go to heaven. Amen. You think about those folks down in New Orleans. If I was down there and I had gotten killed during that hurricane, as horrible as that hurricane was, and I'm not looking forward to dying anytime soon, at least I know that when I'm gone, I'm going to open my eyes in heaven. Amen. And so you start out pretty easy. You start figuring out that, boy, I can get saved and I can go to heaven. But there's more to Christianity than that. Really, salvation and Christianity are two different things. A Christian is a follower of Christ. You can be saved and not really follow Christ. There's a lot of people, sometimes we say people who are saved are Christians, but that's not necessarily true because a Christian is a follower of Christ. That's why the Bible says they were first called Christians in Antioch because the things that they were doing, people said, boy, they followed that Christ guy. That we know who they believe in. And so they said they're Christians because they were followers of Christ. So as you become a Christian and you start to understand that you're supposed to read the Bible, you start to understand that you're supposed to pray, you start to understand that there are some things in this Bible that you're supposed to do and that you're not supposed to do. And as you understand these things, Christianity gets a little bit tougher. You understand me, fellas? It gets a little bit harder. It's not as easy as just saying, boy, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to trust in Jesus and I'm going to get saved so I can go to heaven. It becomes harder because you're saying, boy, not only am I going to do that, I want to take it a step further and I want to become more like Christ, which is what we're all supposed to do. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to be like Him. And when you do that, it's going to get tougher. It's going to get a little bit hard. Because in case you didn't realize, Christ was God and we're human. We're sinful. We make mistakes. We're not good people. And so it's kind of hard to be a follower of Christ and be a human because there's a lot of bad in humans. You might think that you're a good person, but there's a lot of bad in you that you can't help. Does that make sense? And so that's what happened with these people. I believe a lot of them probably were saved. They called them disciples. Now, the Bible did say that Jesus said some of them believed not. Now, I don't know if they didn't believe His doctrine or did they not believe in Him. So, maybe some of them weren't saved, but probably a good portion of them were saved. And yet, there came a point in the time where Jesus said some things where they said, you know what, we don't want this anymore. This is too hard. This is too tough. We're leaving. And it got to the point where Jesus finally had to tell him, he said, you know, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, your flesh profiteth you nothing. He said, you got to follow after the Spirit. And then he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. So Jesus was saying, look, what I'm telling you, I'm not trying to hurt you. He said, what I'm telling you is from the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is where life is. And if you want life, you need to follow these words that I'm telling you. Do you hear me? You know, the words of Jesus are the Bible. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And in verse number 14, it said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He became flesh, and He dwelt among men. So Jesus and the Word of God are the same thing. So when He was speaking to these guys, He was telling them the Word of God. And He said, look, my Spirit is in these words. They are where you're going to get life from. Don't get upset. Don't get bothered. Don't get offended. Believe them. But instead of doing that, the people said, no, we don't want any of that. That's too hard for us. We're offended. The Bible says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. You offend people, people put up walls, you know. And they say, man, I don't want none of that. Now, I'm not saying that that's right, but the Bible teaches us that's how people are. We get offended and we don't want to put up with people, with whoever it is. That's why you got to be real careful not to get easily offended. Because when you get offended, you shut people out. And you don't ever want to do that, especially when it's Jesus. You don't want to shut Jesus out. And so he goes on and he said, but I realize there were some of you who believed not. And he said, but I'm telling you that if you're going to come to me, it's because the Father put it in your heart to come to me. In other words, he said, you're saved, you're born again, and God the Father is leading you to follow me, to go after me. And the Bible says from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They said, you know what, we've had enough. You know, one of the saddest things in the world is when you have to leave people. Anybody got like a grandparent that lives far away from here? You go and visit them. Do you ever go and visit them? And isn't it kind of sad when you have to go? You talk to them and you have a good time. And like my grandmother always used to take us out to this big ice cream store. And they get ice cream. I don't even know what it is. It's in a big, huge container. It's bigger than a gallon. I don't know what in the world. It comes in like a cardboard type of a big, long, rectangle type of a thing. And boy, we used to go over there and get that. Boy, we have a good time. And man, all the treats and sweets and spoil us to death. You know, everything Mom didn't let us do, Grandma let us do, you know. That's how most grandparents are, you know. And boy, we'd have a good time. But you know, every time that I would get ready to leave, that was always tough for me. It was always hard for me because I love my grandmother. And when you get ready to leave on that last day, you know, I've always been the type of a person. I'm not, I don't show my emotions a lot, but I do cry. I cry sometimes. And I would catch myself kind of tearing up a little bit because I felt like, boy, you know, when is going to be the next time I'm going to see my grandmother? And especially as she's gotten older, every time I leave her, I wonder if it's going to be the last time. She's the only grandparent I got left now. All the other three are dead. And so it's tough. You ever felt that way? And you think, boy, man, I hate saying goodbye. And I just wonder sometimes, how does the person on the other side feel that you're saying goodbye to? Me and Brother Dan hang out quite a bit. Y'all know we're friends. I've been over his house many a times. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you that Dan is the type of guy, he when he has people over, he wants you to come over. He wants you to spend the day. It's not, you know, come over for 30 minutes, an hour. He wants you to spend the day with him, you know. And we go over there, and sometimes, you know, we'll be like, man, we need to get out of here. And he'll say something to me, leaving so soon. Leaving so soon. You ever heard that statement before, right? Leaving so soon. That's what you say to somebody when you're not ready for them to go. Leaving so soon. And I just wonder if I could put Jesus' words in modern day vernacular, if that's what he was saying to the people. He said, you know, I know you're offended, and I know that you're having a tough time with what I'm saying, but leave it so soon. Hey, ladies, I wonder sometimes, why do people quit on God and leave so soon? How tough it ought to be for us to spend time with him and to have to say goodbye, but yet it seems like so many times people are in a rush to leave. So many times people say, you know, I've had enough, and they cut it off so fast. And I just wonder if God sits in heaven and he looks down and he says, leaving so soon? He says, why are you leaving me? Why are you walking away? Why are you giving up? He said, I know it's a little bit tough and I know it's a little bit hard, but I'm not ready to say goodbye to you. Don't say goodbye to me. Leave it so soon. The Bible says many of them walked with him no more. And I could just see Jesus saying, leave it so soon. The Bible goes on in verse number 67. It said that Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus was saying to him? He said, Peter, you're going to leave too? Disciples, you're going to leave too? The 12 that Nicole told us about? And Peter stood up and said, no, Jesus, we're not going to leave. And he said, the reason why we're not going to leave is because we know that you are Christ, you're the Son of the living God, and you have the words of life. Where else are we going to go? And I want to ask you that question today. Leave it so soon. Before you quit on God, where else are you going to go? Who are you going to turn to that can help you like Jesus can? Who are you going to follow that is going to give you the type of life that Christ can give you? You think your job will do that for you? I promise you they won't. You think a girlfriend will do that for you, maybe. I promise you, no girl in the world can do for you what God can do. You think a guy will do that for you, girls. No guy in the world can do for you what God can do for you. And I'm not telling you don't like guys and don't like girls. I'm just telling you that you've got to understand, where else are you going to go if you turn away from Christ? If you leave him, where are you going to go? I know you're going to live life to yourself. Well, it's my life, it's my way, I'll do what I want to. But that won't compare at all to what God can do for you. So I want to ask you a question today. Leaving so soon? And I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why I believe that people quit in serving God. And I want you to think today. I want you to think, okay? I want you to use your mind, and I want you to listen to these reasons, and I want you to see if any of them apply to you. If they apply to you, we're going to have an altar call at the end of this thing, and you ought to get on your knees and you ought to ask God to help you get rid of it. Because you don't ever want to have any kind of a reason in your heart why you're going to leave. Because God doesn't want to say goodbye. So don't you. Reason number one, I believe that people get scared of what it means to follow Christ. We make this thing so spooky. Come here, Tyrell. You know, I know you love showing off in front of everybody. So we make it so spooky. We make it where that if Tyrell is a man who just got saved and he wants to follow Christ, and God is giving him commands, and he's saying, Tyrell, I want you to serve me. I want you to follow me. Here's what most people do. Rather than just taking it as that, as a simple little matter, and just said, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want to, they start looking for the biggest, scariest, hardest thing that they can think of. And boy, that's what God's going to make me do. I know what. God's going to make me go over to the jungle, and I'm going to have to eat insects and live in a tent, and I'm going to have to supposedly be a missionary, and I don't want to do that. I love America. And people get scared of what the will of God, of following Christ, what it means. You say, boy, I don't want to go and have to walk all the time in a suit. And those preachers, they go to sleep in their suits. Did you know that? They go to sleep in their suits. I mean, if I'm going to have to follow Christ, I'm going to become some kind of a weirdo and sleep in my bed in a full-piece suit. And boy, I'm never going to have any fun. It's just going to be horrible. And people get scared of what it means to follow Christ. We make it bigger than what it really is. God says, hey, look, all I want is your heart, and don't you worry, I'm going to take care of you. Don't try to think of all the horrible things that could happen. But if I serve God, nobody's going to like me. I mean, nobody likes those religious people. You know, they're weird. You know what I'm saying? They're weird, aren't they? That Brother Larry, he's one weird guy. See, he's, I mean, he knows. And that's what we have. We have a bunch of people who are scared of what God has for them. And so what do we say? Jesus says, hey, come with me. And you say, you know what, I got to go. Now, when I say that, I want you to start walking away. Hey, come with me. Come with me. Just take a step. And this is what we're doing. And Christ will say, hey, but Tyrell, I got something for you. Come with me. Take another step. Sorry, Christ, I got to go. Hey, but it's really not that scary. I'm telling you, it's good over here. But Tyrell, I got something good over here. And we're running scared. And I'm telling you, there's boys and girls, there's teenagers, there's adults who all are running scared of what Christ wants them to do. And so they say, I gotta go. And Christ says, but you're leaving so soon. You just got saved. You told me you want me to lead your life. Why are you leaving? I'm scared, God. I can't do what you want. God says, I'm not asking you. I love what somebody said. It's not taking those giant leaps. It's one step at a time as Christianity. It's not coming one day getting saved and the next day you're a preacher. It's one day getting saved, the next day reading one verse. That's what it is. It's one step at a time. And God is not trying to scare you. He's trying to pull you in because he's got something big and wonderful. But he's just saying, please don't leave me. But we say, we got to go. Now, I said, I want you to think today. Are you scared of what Christ wants you to do? Are you worried about what it is that God might ask you to do? If you are, there might be a reason why you'll leave. Don't be scared of what God might have you to do. He won't ask us to do anything that he won't equip us to do. So now, that's point number one. Reason why people leave is because they are scared of what it means to follow Christ. Point number two. The reason why people leave is they don't feel they are a part of the work. Now, I want to be honest with you guys. I love the afternoon and I love what we do, but sometimes I hate it for you guys because I feel like we're so segregated away from the rest of the church. Now, some of y'all have come on Sunday nights or Sunday morning, or something like that. You've seen the rest of the church. You've been around. You've been here, and you've seen what it's like. But sometimes you come in here, and we have our little group here, and boy, you know, you come in, you feel like, well, you know, it's five, six of us or whatever, and man, there's really not that much going on, and you know, I mean, look at this big old auditorium. We know they got to have a lot more people than this, and you don't feel like you're a part of the work. And that's why people quit. Because they feel like, boy, I'm not integral. I'm not somebody that, they don't really want me here. They don't really have anything for me here. I want to be in a place where people want me there. And I'll be honest with you, in some ways, I feel like some of that's our fault. Because we've set up a system that I hate it. Like I said, that I don't think that you guys get to see everything that's going on. Amen. I want you to see everything. I want you to see the baptisms. I want you to see people getting saved on Sunday morning. I want you to see the band coming out here and playing the music and the choir being able to sing. And I want you to hear a way greater preacher than me, Pastor Angel, be able to preach and hear and grow and understand. And I know sometimes you just feel like, boy, I'm not a part of what they're doing. And how many times I've talked to people over the years who said that I don't feel like I'm a part of Faith Baptist Church, and so they've left. And I don't want you to leave because you feel like you're not a part. I want you to feel like, boy, everything that's here is for me. That's why I tell you all the time. If you're in the afternoon, if you're in the morning, if you come on Sunday nights, if you come on Wednesday, whatever, when you come, you are a part of Faith Baptist Church. This is your church. This work that goes on here, if you want to be a part of it, you can be a part of it. You don't have to get bitter. You don't have to get offended. You don't have to say, boy, you know, I'm just not welcome here, and turn around and leave. Because I'm telling you, where else are you going to go? What you got to say is, what can I do to become more of a part? And there's a whole bunch of people that God bless them, and I don't think that they're bad people, but they just think in their hearts and their minds, boy, not a part of this thing. And they give up. And what's so sad about it is, I guess I wouldn't mind it as much if they went and they went to another church where they felt more of a part. But many times that's not what happens. People give up and they sit at home. They spend all Sunday morning watching TV instead of coming to church like they used to because, hey, I didn't feel like I was a part. I'm asking you to think today. You ever felt like that? And maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but I'm just giving you reasons why people quit. You feel like sometimes, boy, this isn't for me. But I'm trying to tell you, if you'll just work at it, it can be for you if you want it to. I ask you the question again, leaving so soon? Why are you in a hurry to get out? Why don't you stay? I said point number one, people leave because they get scared of what it means to follow Christ. Point number two, if they don't feel that they are a part of the work. Point number three, they believe it's not fun to serve Christ. Oh, how many times have I heard that? Listen, fellas, pay attention. Now, this point right here, I believe, what they call fun is basically they can't sin. Well, that church, they're telling us don't smoke, don't drink, don't cuss, don't chew, don't run with those who do. And I tell you, I just want to have a little bit of fun. And when you're a teenager, that's exactly where you're at. I want to be able to go to the parties. I want to be able to go out with the girls. I want to be able to go to the movies. I want to be able to dance. I want to be able to do everything that I would like to do because those things are fun. But I want to tell you today, you're going to leave Christ because you think that He's not fun, but the things that you think are fun, sooner or later, they're going to run out. The fun that this world has, sin is fun for a while. The Bible said there is pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible tells us that. But the whole point is there's a time when that season ends. It doesn't last forever. And when you go out and try to do your own thing and I'm just going to have me some fun, there's going to come a time when your fun runs out. So what are you talking about, Brother Larry? Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. You're teenagers. I hope you know how I preach around here. We tell you not to be immoral. We tell you not to go around sleeping with the women, sleeping with the fellas. And I'm telling you with all my heart and mind and soul, you look at that sometimes and you think, boy, it seems like they're having so much fun. This guy, he's a player. He gets all the girls. You know, man, they're all fine and good looking. And boy, I wish I had me with just one girl like he's got. And he's got like four or five. Why can't I just have a little bit of fun? I want to tell you, the fellas, when a lot of those people end up in the disease clinic, when they have kids when they're 15, 16 years old and they got no job, they can't afford them. When they're sitting there wondering, how in the world am I going to tell mommy and daddy that I got some girl pregnant? You're going to be glad that you didn't enjoy your sin for a season. You're going to be glad that the things that you thought were so fun, you avoided them. Because fun runs out sooner or later. I think about people who go out and, boy, I'm just going to toss down a few. I'm going to drink a little bit. And we think, boy, that's just a good time. You go out, you get a little bit drunk, and boy, will you have fun, and you hang out with your friends, and the girls get wild, and the guys have a good time, and whoa, yeah, let's get drunk. And don't look at me all pious. I know that's exactly where we're at. That's real right there. Amen. That's real. I know where you're living at, folks. I live in the exact same type of, I grew up just like he did. I know exactly. I wasn't born in a church and grew up a preacher. I know what's out there. And the parties and everything else is there. You want to drink. You want to have you a good time. But I want to tell you today, why don't you show me those guys 40 years down the road when they're dying because their liver's destroyed? Why don't you go see the husband when he's in jail because he beat his wife? Well, I know. How about the story preacher told about a dad who went home and beat his two-year-old daughter? Two-year-old daughter to death because she was coughing too loud because he was drunk. Budweiser don't tell you that when they show you the commercials. They don't say that you might go home and beat your two-year-old daughter. They say, look at all the girls you're going to get. Look at all the fun you're going to have. But somebody's got to tell you that fun is sometime. It's only temporal. Pleasure is in sin for a season, but it's going to stop. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There is no, you know, I'm going to skirt around this thing and I'm just going to have a little bit of fun. There will come a time when the fun will end and reality is going to set in. And reality says that drinking is going to hurt you. I'm just naming some different things. Some of y'all are going to go out here and you're going to smoke. You're going to smoke your marijuana. You're going to smoke your cigarettes. You're going to, hey, everybody does it. Marijuana really isn't that bad for you. Cigarettes really isn't that bad for you. When you're dying of lung cancer, come back and tell me it's not that bad for you. Amen. When all your teeth are rotting out, like I've seen some of these guys who have smoked, tell me it's not that bad for you. When you're 30, 40 years old, and you got no teeth. Amen. I've seen them. Now, I'm just trying to tell you today that for some reason, we seem to think that we got to leave Christ because, hey, it's not fun. I want to have a good time, and somebody just let me have my teenage Royal Oats and soul. But somebody's got to tell you the truth that the fun is sometime, and you got to see the future. You got to look beyond just right now. There's a bigger picture than I want to enjoy myself right now. What about 20 years down the road? Don't you want to be around in case you do have some kids? You don't want to be down to lung cancer. You don't want to be a drunk in jail somewhere because you beat on some woman. You want to have a bunch of illegitimate kids that you couldn't take care of. You don't want to be a baby's mama at 16 and could never go to college and could never do what it is that God wanted you to do for your life. You don't want that. What you want is you want to have a life that says, boy, God, I did everything I could to serve you. And God, at the end of the time, when it's all said and done, I want you to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Lord, I just tried my best. And there were some fun things that were out there, God, but I said no to them. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to enjoy myself. And, sorry, Christ, I got to go. That party's calling me. I got to go. That girl over there, she wants me. I got to go. Hey, I just want to smoke a little bit of marijuana. Everybody's doing it. I got to go. I'm telling you, I'm being very real with you today. I hope you appreciate it. I'm being real with you. I got to go. Are you telling Christ that? Christ says, leave it so soon. I saved you. I went to Calvary and died for you. This is my thanks. This is what you want to do. How about you guys that skip church, you know, because you want your sports? Hey, that's more fun. I wouldn't play in a football league that made me play on Sundays. Amen. But amen. It's quiet right now. I wouldn't go play any sports that I had to leave on a Sunday. Why? Because the fun ends sometimes. You can't play sports forever, folks. But I promise you, God said, Jesus promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. There's never coming a time where God won't be able to be there for you, but there will come a time when you're 30 years old and you can't play football anymore. When you're 35 years old, what you going to do then? You'll be like a lot of these athletes out there. They turn to fast lives and they got no purpose in their life. No purpose. They were multimillionaires. Everybody loved them. We see them all the time on TV. And then they're 40, 50 years old. And you should still be going good at that time. That's not that old. You should be enjoying life. But instead, their life's over because sports is done. Folks, I don't want you to end up like that. Don't you leave Christ for the fun. Well, I want the fun of, I want to get me a job. You get you a job, don't work on Sunday. You tell them straight up at the beginning, I've taught you guys this over the years, I will not work on Sunday. You work in a part-time job, listen to me, folks. They don't need you on Sunday. You're a part-timer. That means there are certain days you're not working. So you tell them, look, I'll work every day but Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day. I need to be at church. Amen. And if you tell them that, I promise you, they'll go along with it. You're a part-timer. They'll go along with it. I did that. I'm not telling you something I didn't do. Preacher taught me this years ago. And when I got my first job, I sat right there and I told the man, I said, I will not work Sundays and I will not work Wednesdays. And every stinking week, that manager came along and said, won't you work on Sunday? You'll make double pay. You're going to have a good time. But I said, sir, I told you at the beginning, I'm not going to work Sundays. And I always kept that promise. I didn't want to just have the fun of having all my money so I could buy the latest shoes and this and that. It was more important to me to have God. Don't leave Christ so you can make a little bit of money. I know it seems fun when you can go out and you can get you a car or you can get you nice things and, boy, you can have the things of the world. I know what it's like when you're growing up and, man, if I just had my own money. Don't everybody feel like that, amen? You want your own money. But don't sell Christ out for money. That's what Judas did. He sold them out for money. Don't do that. I said point number one, people leave because they get scared of what it means to follow Christ. Point number two, they feel they're not a part of the work. Point number three, they believe it is not fun to serve God. Point number four, they fall prey to peer pressure. Some of you guys have got to learn to get a little bit of backbone. It cracks me up when I walk out here in this hallway sometimes. You watch kids who are good kids when all it takes is one person to come to church and all of a sudden they become the worst of the worst. You teenagers that are here right now, y'all all behaving. You're some of the best we've got here in the afternoon. There is no reason that if next week some girls come that any one of y'all girls ought to be misbehaving because some other girl came. Amen. And I'm getting sick and tired of teenagers that got no backbone. Get a little bit of guts about yourself and tell them, look, man, I pay attention regardless if you are or not. You got no bearing on me. And we leave Christ because of peer pressure. But my friends aren't going to church, so I'm not going to go either. You wimp. Get you some guts. Who cares if your friends? What, you want your mommy to fix you a bottle too? What in the world? My friends have got to hold my hand so I can come to church. Boo-hoo. Trying to tell you today, good night. Don't fall out of Christ's favor just because of peer pressure. And you'll be surprised. Y'all kind of laugh about how many people quit because of friends. I could tell you stories about people who walked out because of friends. I think people quit on Christ because of peer pressure. You go home and maybe your family's not for the church. Maybe your family. Don't you ever disrespect your parents. Listen to me. Don't you ever disrespect your parents. They tell you do something, you do it. But if they allow you to go to church, if they allow you to read your Bible, if they allow you to do the things of God, but maybe they just make fun of you. That's what it was in my family. They let me come to church. They let me do things, but they made fun of me. You don't have to quit because they make fun of you. You don't have to feel like, well, I go home and they all think I'm some kind of a weirdo because I go to church every Sunday. We usually go to the movies on Sunday. I know that's how it is sometimes. Or we go down to the water park down there. Or we all go out to eat on Sunday. And I tell them I got to go get on the bus. They all think I'm a weirdo. That's okay. Are you leaving Christ so soon because of peer pressure? Is Christ standing there saying, are you leaving so soon? Hey, come back. I said, but my family, they're picking on me. I'm telling you, that's what happened to those disciples. Jesus started preaching hard and they said, well, none of that. Whoa, that's a little bit too tough there, Jesus. Too much. going to get tough, folks, to be a Christian. Do you hear me? It's going to be tough. But it gets tough, you get tougher. You say, bless God. Like I said, don't disrespect your parents. They tell you to do something, you do what they say. But if it's just a matter of them making fun of you, learn to take it. Learn to say, you know what? This is what God wants me to do. When you get to heaven someday, the roles are going to be reversed. Your parents will wish that they had not made fun of you and done what you did. Your brothers and sisters will wish they'd done what you did. And you'll be glad that you did what you did. People quit because of peer pressure. Number five, and this is it. People don't understand the importance of their life. The devil uses two tricks to get to people. One, his ultimate goal is to send everybody he can to hell. The devil would love nothing more than to make sure that your soul ends in hell. But if you get saved, he can't ever get you back. Some people teach that, oh, well, you can lose your salvation. Jesus said that once it's settled and done, it's done forever. You don't have to worry about the fact that one day I'm going to wake up and I'm not going to be saved. I mean, once you're saved, you're always saved. And thank God for that. But if he can't get your soul, he'll try his best to make your life, and I'm not trying to say this as a cuss word, a living hell. He'll do everything he can to make hell come to you on earth. Amen. He'll bring all types of problems. He'll bring you a sickness if he has to. Read the book of Job. That's what he did. He'll bring criticism. He'll bring everything he can to make your life miserable. Because he so bad wants you to ruin your testimony. He wants you to turn against God and to say, God, I can't believe you did this to me. But God said, I had nothing to do with that. That's the devil trying to attack you. The Bible says nothing bad ever comes from God. Now, he allows things to happen, but it didn't come from him. God's never had a bad thought in his life. He never meant anybody harm in his life. People don't understand the importance of their life. If the devil values ruining you so much that he will do everything he can to make sure that you don't turn out for Christ, why don't you value yourself and say, boy, I can't quit on Christ because he needs me just as bad as the devil wants to hurt me. Did you catch that? God needs you just as bad as the devil wants to hurt you. And the devil wants to hurt you. He won't tell you that, but he wants to. You got to realize how important your life is. Will you just quit and say, well, it's my life. I'll do what I want to. No, it's much more than that. You're a life that Jesus died for. That he gave his precious holy blood. You're valuable. You're important. You mean something to God. And just to turn your back on him, is saying, God, I don't understand what my life meant to you. Because it meant enough for him to send his only son to die. Jesus said there is no greater love that a man would lay down his life for his friends. God's good. And he thinks you're valuable. You need to think the same. I'm valuable to God. Can't turn my back on. I give you the illustration again. Many times I've been at Brother Dan's house. And we want to leave maybe a little bit earlier than he's ready for us to go. And he said, man, Brother Larry, you're leaving so soon. I wonder if Christ sits in heaven and he watches some of you folks and he sees you getting ready to leave him. And he says, you're leaving so soon. I'm begging you, folks. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Ask you a question, and we'll let you go. How many people say, Brother Larry, I heard what you had to say today, and I want to make it my heart's desire to never leave Christ. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? Boy, I appreciate that. You put your hands down. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for these folks. I thank you for the fact that they come to this church, and I get the privilege of preaching to them. I don't deserve it, but you give it to me. And Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of them to never leave you, to always be there by your side. God, you saved us for a reason, and make us all to understand that there's a purpose, there's a plan behind what you're trying to do. Help them all to stay faithful. Bring them all back again next week. Keep them safe. Keep them right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I appreciate you guys. Good job. We can go. Sorry. Catch them. Whoa. Hey, Chris. You want one?